aircraft carrier, the Abraham Lincoln. The war.
Mr. Norquist, how are things going this morning in the swamp?
Well, we have a lot of snow here, but the good news for the American people is that the big, beautiful bill, the tax cut that Trump and the Republicans enacted for last year, was so powerful, and it took effect, by the way, at the beginning of last year, 2025, not in July, halfway through, which is when we passed it. They said this is going to take for, all the way back. So what that means is the no tax on tips was for all year, not half the year. The higher per child tax credit was for all year, not just half the year. And a lot of people didn't withheld more money for income tax purposes, meaning the government withheld it for them. And the size of the refund checks this year are going to be much higher than in previous years. It'll be a welcome reminder of the importance of the Republican tax cut. But also, that's just this year's advantage. That's every year into the future. What the Democrats voted against was the continuation of a $4 trillion tax cut over a year, 10 years, over a decade, okay? So $400 billion a year. The Democrats wanted your taxes to go up $400 billion every year going out. The Republicans said no. And so that is the difference between the Republican House, Senate, and Trump, and what could have happened. Now, in the states, and I was just down in South Carolina working with your legislature, the House has passed a bill to phase your income tax down to zero over time as economic growth happens. North Carolina has been doing that for 12 years and bringing their income tax dramatically down and headed to zero. And now South Carolina is going to jump, I think, ahead of North Carolina. As they do that, the Senate is expected to pass the same bill as the House. So South Carolina will become one of six states that are automatically moving down to zero. So it's a, and there are another six just behind them saying, we're pretty sure we're doing this. Here's what our starter kit is. We got 12 states that will be on the route to zero in the next few years. But South Carolina, I think, will join that competition dramatically and strongly this year. So that's exciting. Not only does the weather bring people to South Carolina, but serious laws, serious labor laws, right to work, making it easier for people to get jobs, and a phase down of the income tax so that, you know, your kids can stay in state and not move to go get another job, which is what happens in a lot of other states that don't keep their taxes down.
You know something, we're talking with Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform. As I was promoting our segment to kick off the show earlier this morning, I highlighted the fact that yesterday you got to go, okay, you talk about history repeating itself and the key words and phrases that tend to pop up throughout the course of history. It's sort of the same as it ever was. It was yesterday, 1913, Grover, I'm sure you know this, that the 16th Amendment was ratified, giving Congress the power to levy an income tax. And, of course, it was just a tax that was going to impact the wealthy, you know, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies. And then we got into a bunch of conflicts and war, and next thing you know, a good portion of our population was paying income tax. And with that said, that continues to be the talking point for many, right? We need to tax the wealthy, tax the billionaires, the millionaires. They then leave states like California only for those taxes then to impact who? Well, the middle class folks who make $50,000, $60,000 a year.
Tax the rich is only the first part of the sentence. Tax the rich first, then everyone else. The income tax you just cited back in 1913, the top rate was 7%. The bottom rate today is more than 7%. The top rate, you had to make more than $11 million a year to be at the top rate. You don't have to make $11 million a year to be at the 15% rate these days here in America. So all taxes start as taxes on the few. Otherwise, they'd lose the election, right? They don't go, we're going to tax them, all of you. No, you say, you know, most of you guys take a nap. I'm going to mug these guys over in the corner. It's not you. Don't worry about it. It's a little unpleasant. Might be a little loud. You might want to step out of the room. But and then, of course, after they work over one group, they come back and say, now it's your turn. And by the way, the guys we mugged first, they're not going to help you because you stood by and let them get taxed. So, yeah, but, no, that's how they raise taxes. They take people out out of the room one at a time and get them, and then they just keep coming back promising that they'll never do it again.
And it's not like this is the first time we've heard this story as documented going all the way back over 100 years. We've been having this discussion. What does that tell you, essentially, when it comes to government programs and the expansion of government when they need more of your hard-earned income through taxation?
Well, they say they need more of other people's money because they've spent more and more incompetently than they expected. They make promises to their friends. They make promises to their precinct chairman, the people who do the get-out-the-vote effort for them. And the politicians, the modern left that likes big government and wants to have it get bigger and bigger, is based on creating interest groups that they promise money to. And then every year, these guys want more and more and more. And that's why the politicians go back to the taxpayers and say, oh, we have all these services. Give you some comparison. New York and Florida are about the same size. Florida's 2 million people bigger, but they're about the same size. Florida spends half as much on state spending as New York. So half as much per capita. And by the way, Florida's roads are better than New York's. Their schools are better than New York's. I mean, it's not like you get anything for spending twice as much money. But once you've started to hire the number of government workers they have in New York, they work fewer hours in the day, fewer days in the month, fewer months in the year, fewer years in their work life, and they have pensions that nobody ever in the world would ever see other than them. And they just really, they feed the bureaucracy. And then there's a list of things that they do on the side. But you know what? Florida does those at half the cost.
Hmm. Speaking of more government workers with less work getting done, I know up in New York City, not necessarily the topic at hand here this morning, a lot of people frustrated with the way their snow cleanup has gone over the last few days following all this winter weather. Does that just not showcase the fact that not anything to do with Mondami, for instance, but just showcases the fact that even the services that we want government to perform, they're not the easiest of tasks, and it takes a uniform, efficient, and effective group of people to carry out a mass snow removal in, say, the largest city in America. So they've got their hands full with just the basic core functions of government, yet they want to dip their hands into everything and anything else.
And one of the reasons they're not good at the roads and cleaning up snow is that they're so busy doing other things that government is not capable of doing well and or should not do ever. I mean, they have government-supported radio shows and TV shows and things. What? You know, you think the First Amendment would say, you can't do that. You can't have a government radio or a TV show. And, of course, we have National Public Broadcasting. They still get money. We took a chunk out of that, but the government, there are a lot of things government should not do. And if you don't do those, and the Constitution is pretty clear, they got a whole collection of things they say don't do. But New York has expanded the size and scope of government, and therefore, not only is it very expensive, but they don't do the important things first.
Grover Norquist with us from Americans for Tax Reform. Just a few more minutes. If you'd like to know more about what his group does and why they do it, go to their website at ATR.org. That's ATR.org. Grover, before I let you go, you had mentioned that you were in South Carolina petitioning with lawmakers to reduce the state's income tax rate here, as done in North Carolina, no income taxes in states like Florida, Texas. On top of that, as this legislative session continues, there are lawmakers poised to vote on the proposal eventually, or they have already, awaiting some more movement in the General Assembly as it pertains to regulatory reform for small businesses.
Oh, yes, that's very important. That's great stuff that you guys are doing there. That is going to put South Carolina on the map as the state that every other state will follow. Absolutely.
And with that said, I mean, how overburdensome do these regulations, how overburdensome are they for small business around our state and throughout the country?
Well, there's more than $1 trillion, maybe $2 trillion in regulatory burden in the whole country. Not all of that's state, a lot of that's federal, some of it's local, but they're hidden taxes. You know, you don't see them. They're just put into the cost of every product and every house. A lot of the cost of housing is regulation. These are things that are very, very, very painful and expensive, and we have simply got to rein that in. And that's why the act that you have in South Carolina. I was down and spoke at the press conference for that in the state legislative leadership, House and Senate. We're talking about that. They're very excited about that. I'm very excited about it. And as I told them, I said, look, this is something that 20 states will pass the next 2 years after they watch you do it.
Talking once again with Grover Norquist. And lastly, just a long-term picture here. Okay, you know, when looking beyond, just to circle back to the population growth, eventually here in the next cycle, right, after the presidential election cycle in 2028, there will be redistricting through the Census Bureau. And, of course, we're poised to gain congressional representation because of that boom and the growth right here in the Carolinas.
Yes, and there'll be 10 congressmen, 10 electoral college votes that'll move from blue states to red states. It'll make it easier to pass good legislation in the House of Representatives and easier to elect good presidents.
Hey, Grover, thanks so much for your input, as always, this morning. Thanks again.
You got it.
That's ATR.org, the website, if you want to learn more about Americans for Tax Reform, some of the things going on within our state, throughout our region, around our country, when it comes to efforts to slash the burden of taxation on you and your families all across the country. This was first spearheaded during the Reagan administration, and they've got a number of states and lawmakers on board dedicating their time of service to never raising taxes on you and your families.